Blood Knot, written by Sam Llewellyn and read by Michael Jaston.
Chapter 1. I was in my usual place, hanging onto the backstay, bending my knees against the plunge and slide of the big boat's career through the short Thames estuary seas. From up here I could look over the helmsman's shoulder at the green corpse light of the steering compass, swinging on south-southwest. Dean, the helmsman, had dyed black hair bound into a ponytail with a Turk's head, and a salt-black silver earring in his right ear. He had been coming to sea enough, so he no longer needed watching. I watched anyway, out of habit. Watching was one of the penalties of running an old boat. A constant slide of the eyes over 55 feet of wet teak deck. Forward to the bowsprit and the three foresails set above it. Up the 75 feet of mast. Down the taut belly of double-reefed mainsail, shrouds and runners. Into the scuppers, where the evil-smelling grey waves sluiced away the little shreds of sick the crew had left there during the past 36 hours. Above the roar and bubble of the boat's wooden belly came the knock of the pumps. We had had big winds and short seas ever since Vixen had stuck her bowsprit out of Imuden Harbour. When an old boat bounces, her planks twist, ringing in water. The rig was sound, the pumps were working. Frowning against the ache of too little sleep, I peered ahead. Far out there in the dead grey, the needle-sharp blink of the long sand headboy pricked the murk. Vixen heeled to a gust. Dean eased the brass-bound spokes against the tug of the weather helm as Vixen's long nose pulled for the eye of the wind. We were moving into the shelter of the sandbanks that run fanwise from the mouth of the Thames. We knew exactly where we were. That was a relief. Night was falling. The wind was blowing hard from the west, where bloated clouds hid the Essex coast. It was a dirty dusk, and a dirty sea, mixed with London sewage, thrashed by the wind into streaks of yellowish foam. But the wind had come down from force 8, gusting 9. That was a relief, too. Vixen's crew consisted of 8 17-year-olds who had been sent along by their probation officers to get their minds broadened. Whether or not anything had happened to their minds, together we had hauled Vixen's ancient bones through 24 hours of blue murder, and we were still in one piece. Now we were within spitting distance of a landfall, it was possible to feel relieved. Not too relieved, though. The eyes did not stop their slither. The dirty mainsail towered into the stinking wind. Normally, masts are held up by wire guy ropes called shrouds. The cap shrouds go to the top of the mast to keep it upright. The lowers go to the middle to keep it stiff. This evening, one of Vixen's lowers was not made of wire, but of a length of our anchor chain. This was because it had gone bang 60 miles west of Imuden, causing the mast to whip about like a fishing rod. So I and Pete the mate and 4 seasick kids had got there with the chain, and the chain was holding. The reason we had not put back into Imuden was that this evening Chatham was full of tall ships, relics of the age of sail, crewed by kids of 6 nations, getting their characters improved. We were supposed to be there by now. The parties had started without us. The crew were looking forward to the parties. They had a right to. 2 weeks ago, when we had sailed from St. Catherine's Dock at the beginning of the cruise, they had been white, frightened brats, with eyes that scuttled away from yours. Now their faces were scorched with sun and wind, and they looked straight at you when you talked to them, because if they did not, they might miss something. Vixen's sharp nose dug up a clod of water and shoveled it aft down the deck and into my face. It tasted flat and dirty as it ran down the neck of my oilskin. Dean swore and shook himself hard enough to clatter his earrings. I laughed. Things were going so well, I actually laughed. Vixen blazed an arrowhead of foam between the sandbanks on either side of Black Deep. I ticked off the ruby and emerald flick of the boys on the much-corrected chart in the doghouse, the little hut that protected the front end of the cockpit. It started to rain. The wind moderated. The watch on deck stumbled into the thick night to shake out the reefs and change headsails. At 0100, Vixen slid past the coal-black slate of the cant, in the funnel-shaped throat of the Thames, and picked up the winking red procession of the Medway Channel boys. Too late for the parties, but there was always tomorrow.